Sorry, I'm pouring coffee. I'm ready. Okay, here we go. You ready?
Welcome to Last Week in Gaming, where we talk about games we ran or played last week. I'm your host, Matt J. Let's get started. Today's guest is a longtime good friend of mine. We've got, I don't know, hundreds of games together under our belts. Rich Rogers. He's the creator of the Emmy Award-winning Hit the Streets, Defend the Block, a tabletop role-playing game about street-level supers who protect their neighborhood. He's also the co-host of the Plus One Forward podcast, and he runs Star Wars Through the Gauntlet, an anthology where he hacks or lightly skins different game systems to put into the Star Wars universe. It's fantastic. If you've never gotten to play any of those, you should do that. Last Week in Gaming and the Diceology podcast are supported by listeners like you. Your support is what makes my show and the Dream Hustle happen. It helps provide the independence for the work, the shows, games, and the conversations I have. And I appreciate that. Consider supporting me on Patreon at MadJZero, all letters. Let's make this our regular thing.
Hey, Rich. Welcome to the show.
Hey, Jay. How are you doing, man?
I'm pretty good. I'm on my off week of gaming, so this is all prep this week. So I'll get in. Yeah,
tell me about this off week thing. What is this off week concept? We'll jump back to last Wednesday. Primarily, I'm excited about this. I've been running Lighthearted, which is the game that's like set in the 80s, and it's like, right, what if Weird Science and 16 Candles was actually a thing, but there was also magic? So there are fantasy elements and 80s, right, pop culture, fantasy religions, which is kind of weird, but like interesting enough. It's got a die step system going on and some emotions as stats that reminds me of the Veil, except it's different. So it's pretty fun. I started off running the game for my face-to-face group. We've, you know, gone virtual due to COVID, and I thought, hey, I just want to give this game a shot. What's funny is they're all youngins.
Yes. So
they only know the 80s at a distance.
And right,
so there's some like, it's, so I'll mention, oh, and then, oh yeah, by Yellow plays as you guys are running through the backyards here. And I look and no one does the like, oh yeah, nice Ferris Bueller Day reference.
Right, nothing. Right.
Just crickets, nothing, bro. So wow. It's still fun, but there's like fun, yeah, at a distance. It makes me feel old enjoying certain bits of it. And I selfishly will throw in pop culture references that I now don't even check in to see if they got it. I just do it because I can. This last session, they fought with a giant aloe vera plant in the middle of Thaumaturgy 101. That was crazy. Nice. That was based off a player saying, oh, I got a great success, I want to make this terrible thing happen. I'm like, but don't you want a good? No. I want the giant aloe vera plant to grow super big, like Audrey too. I'm like, okay.
Let's
do that. That sounds good. Finally got to drop in one of the cool world elements of Lighthearted, which is the, instead of the Central Intelligence Agency, it's the Central Intelligence Magency. So I got to
roll in. Yeah.
DeAndre Freeman, who was investigating this thing from one of the player characters' backstories about a dark thaumaturgical tome, a grimoire. So
right,
that was fun. I got to put the screws to him a little bit. After that, I played in this game that on actual play called Nibiru. Maybe you've heard of it.
I might get some kickbacks. I might have heard of it.
Awesome. Magic's the GM of this Nibiru game. I was so honored to be invited. So I'm like, must be on best behavior, must be best self. Play good, be good player, Rich, do good, don't screw up. And it's interesting idea, like the whole write your own skills. Although like in the concept is like, oh wow, this is so cool, it's an open book. Right. I haven't heard of this since, right, like Orc World back when John Wick wrote this game, and I was like, oh yeah, this is cool. But like, we kind of just made the skills that we would in most RPGs, so It's kind of weird. Like,
yeah, that is kind of weird.
Call this? I'm like, let's call it the thing that we see in every other damn RPG.
Right.
You know?
Right.
So like conceptually, it's like, make your own thing. What do we make?
Right.
The thing we've seen before.
Right. I'm with you. It's like, here's some novelty, but it really isn't, because it looks like, right, like you said, it's stuff that we would, because we got hung up, or I got hung up on Rita Sitch. I should have just, it's Rita Sitch and let's just run with it. I don't, yeah. It doesn't have to be named anything else, but I got hung up on that because we can make whatever we want.
And, yeah, right. Right.
So I'm with you. I'm with you.
It's not like we haven't been making these games for over 40 years, and I kind of figured out what most people try to do when they interact with the world, but it's still, I'm still having fun. Especially the monsters in Nibiru are cool. I love the way that you're presenting, like the mermaid and then the robot a-hole. Those are cool things to interact with. But like Nibiru itself, it feels like a French movie.
Yes.
It feels City of Lost Children-y. It feels right. Like it's a step past the weird level that my brain can kind of feel coherent about. I knew it was going to be weird coming in.
I'm with you. I'm running it because Jeremiah, he's one of the players, was hyped about it. And I'm with you. The high concept. I'm like, oh, wow, that sounds fantastic. Yeah, it's super... I think you said it best. It's like a French movie. Like I'm watching a French movie. So, but I'm glad you jumped on board and you're playing. So,
yeah, I am too. Keep me in mind. So, I want to be on your short list, bro. Jumping to Friday afternoon, I got to finish up a 2-spot of Once More Into the Void. I got to be playing in that. Once More Into the Void, currently on Kickstarter. So definitely check it out. It's going to be a beautiful, beautiful book. Jason Pitt and Genesis of Legend Publishing are helping to put that out, but it was written by Jamie, who's a really cool person. Once More Into the Void is like Star Trek Picard and Mass Effect 2. Got your captain who's done a whole lot of great things with their crew, but then broke their heart in a way and now has to pull them back together again to face the big bad thing one more time. Yeah, it is a Firebrands, a mobile's Frame Zero Firebrands or Firebrands style game. One of the things that we did in the second session was a side mission. It's like, well, Captain, if you have time is the name of the mini game. And the side mission is the one where you're like drawing cards and then you got to narrate out based on the card draws how well this little side mission goes. It's a loyalty mission from Mass Effect 2.
Right.
Kind of thing of like, hey, I want to build your loyalty by going to help you take care of this deal. And that was really exciting and fun. And I was super engaged by that, even though I wasn't even in that mini game. That was like, oh yeah, I could be here for that. I can dig on that. That's cool. I had fun.
Nice.
I'll probably give it another shot.
Is that something you would Star Warsify?
Oh yeah, for sure. Without a doubt. Easy enough. Yeah. I will be doing that at some point. So then we hit the weekend, and I got to finish up Bounty of the Week. You mentioned it in your first last week on. We got to finish that series. You were missed, Mandel, the amazing Chiss bounty hunter was missed.
Oh,
I took that picture and I stuck him in my NPCs tab on the character
keys. Nice.
And so everybody could just look and go, man, if only we could call on Mandel, because he was so awesome with that battle axe and the rancor. So cool.
Yeah, that game was awesome, man. I love that. That was my first Monster of the Week-ish game, and it's the first time I played Bounty of the Week. That was a lot of fun. I enjoyed that.
Oh,
that was way too much fun.
You are such a good pinch hitter. Yeah, I was like, this game's already got a full boat, but man, if I could have just talked myself into like, it won't be bad if I add in a fifth player into this craziness. But I held to smart GM brain, kept from doing the thing. It pivoted about midpoint. You know, it was a five session series, which for the folks who don't know, on the Gauntlet, I run Star Wars Saturdays, so I'll run it a month at a time. It'll be a different RPG system. And so we happen to have five Saturdays in the month of May. And so it was a 5-session thing. And around midpoint, everybody was like, yeah, we're hunting bounties. We kind of have our side stuff that we're super interested in. So we're kind of ignore this bounty and go do a prison breakout. Okay, let's do a prison breakout. I'll do some prep. And I actually did prep. I went and I found like all the modules that I had and my gigs and gigs of stuff. Had
right, some, right.
Like, traveler modules on jails and stuff.
Wow.
And some,
okay.
Like, maps and everything. I'm like, which one do I want to use? Okay. Then I went through my Star Wars Saturday wiki and I found a bunch of like old PCs and NPCs. And I'm going to stick them in the jail just for Easter eggs for only me, probably, because no one's going to care. And they did their
but prison. I will.
It's so selfish, but I don't like pause and wait for them to recognize that that was an important character. In fact, there was a point where I said, okay, you guys are running from this. As you know, there are more Imperials are coming back to this penal colony. You got to get out of here. And I want you to roll a D4. That's the number of prisoners that don't make it off. And then person like, oh, four. I'm like, oh my goodness, four of these folks. And I had all the NPCs lined up and I knew who all the characters were with context, and I'm like, all right, you other three, you pick one, just tell me they didn't make it. You don't have to like kill them or anything. They didn't right. make it onto the ship. And
right.
and then I was like, oh no, the Gresk Tarvo, Sabine's favorite weakway, didn't make it. And one of them was actually a character that one of the players had played like 6 months ago, and he kept it all under his hat. But someone goes, yeah, that's the cyborg dude, he doesn't make it. And I looked at Steven's like, dang, I caught a break.
That's awesome.
Yeah. And then the last session, I'll make this quick. The last session was, I'm going to go save my sister from her arranged marriage thing. And I'm like, oh my God, I'm not doing the like princess in the castle thing at all. Like that was their setup. But the actual thing that happened is they get on the planet and they quickly find out, oh wait, you've been like toying with the dark side PC who wants to save their sister. Guess what? She's already fallen to the dark side. She's making this dude marry her so that she can kill him and take all his stuff.
Wow.
And
that's a big twist.
Was hot, bro. It was hot.
That is like, hot.
Yeah, because like that player character was playing the monster spooky playbook that I twisted right. to call the sensitive, which meant that they had dark side stuff going on, but they also right. had some force powers. And so a lot of this was communicated like telepathically, and the sister's like, come and join me, we will rule this. And the player was like, whoa, I really thought we had a save my sister princess thing going. Nope.
Right,
nope.
right.
Not nope. interested. And it still ended really, really well. Interestingly, I think it was satisfying for the player as well, but it was a satisfying story for me to not go like, I think you want to go this way, but I don't think that's where you really want to go. Right. I think you let's Star Warsify this just a little bit. It was pretty cool.
Nice. I like that.
And then one of the players during the post game feedback post at the end of the series says, you know, we stole the helping move from Legacy Life Among the Ruins, which is so hot. Remember that? Like Call for Aid was just such a cool move. That luck, which is this thing of Monster of the Week where you burn a luck and you get a 12 plus or you get no harm. It's like the, wow, did you really survive? It felt like an 18 move of like, oh, those two guys ran to the side of the cliff and the helicopter fell to the ground, but they get out and they're kind of dizzy and they're still live. Cause we don't kill people in the 80s action TV shows. They don't die. Right. That's very much the luck. And someone was like, I don't think we need luck. And I was like, we don't.
but wait a minute.
Hold on. This is like game design. I just do hacks and reskins. Let me think about this for a bit. But I'm going to give it a shot in June, coming up this Sunday. I'm running a 3-shot of it, and I'm going to try to run the game no luck. So it's like so far afield from Monster of the Week that I feel like I don't have a net here, but we're going to try this.
We're going to try it.
I think it's going to work, like, because I really want to see more of that help move, right? That's
okay, right?
That
right,
was super
right.
fun. And I think right. if people don't have the luck to just save their cans, it's going to put them in some interesting right. situations that are a little grittier than, say, a supernatural TV show might have.
Right. You know? No, I agree. I was going to ask how often does luck get used? And that might give you a sense of.
You know, it starts with 7 officially in Monster of the Week. I lowered it to 5. That was still too right. much. Like, they got near the gotcha. End yeah. and people were like lucking through the hard stuff. And it was almost like gotcha. Ah, up, up, down, down, left, right, be a star. And if you don't know what that means, I'm so sorry for you.
I think you know. I'm so sorry. But yeah, I think you know. Nice. I'll be interested. I like my stuff on the grittier side, but I'm always worried about overkill, right? Is it too rough?
Yeah, I worry about that too. But this game also has a healthy number of health boxes. It's right. got like 2 different ways to save your can from dying. Right. So I really right. feel like I've got enough safety measures in place to where I'm not going to just... party kill, party wipe kind of deal off the bat.
Right.
I think I've got a vibe for, yeah, maybe Rich doesn't do the move of harm them here. I'm just going to like take another keeper MC move and do something else. And still right. the threat is there. The consequences are there. The repercussions are there. And I think it'll be more fun. Luck, it's conceptually a Monster of the Week is pretty cool. But it also, like, they added luck moves later on in the revised edition, and luck moves are, oh, well, you spend a luck, but I as a GM get an immediate move. But the move is always like either really out of left field and I'm like, oh, that's more work, or it's a thing I'm already doing. So
right. yeah,
it's like,
yeah,
you know, yeah. I don't need those luck moves. I think I'm just going to do away with luck. Done. It's done for June. We'll see how it goes.
It's done. Nice.
Then Sunday night was the continuation of the duet game that I run for my wife, where we'd been playing Dungeon World for forever. And she finally, we like right. found a good offboarding point. And she said, why don't we play Star Wars? I'm like, are you sure? And she said, yeah, I know you like that Star Wars. So I do.
I do. But I do.
Andrew Medeiros created this PBTA hack back in, like, I think it was the last update was like 2015, some look at Star Wars World. And I like it, but a lot's happened in game design in the like last right. 5-ish years. And there are a lot of other games that have come out that have cool bits that I like. So I kind of took the last 2 iterations, the Omega and the Nebulon iterations, and like comboed those together. And then I got mad and then I like rewrote a whole bunch of stuff. So it's like this whole other thing that I put in a like Google spreadsheet, like Word document. So my wife thinks it's official.
So. She's not getting a shortcut.
she didn't know. It's all good. We tweaked and played around with it. It's fun. But during character creation, her Jedi, this is how much I love her. I'm letting her play a Jedi. People who play any of the Star Wars Saturdays know I like run from Jedi because they just swallow up. They suck all the air out of the room, bro.
Right. They're heavy. Yeah.
But she's solo. So like, why not? It's a duet game. And she said, all right, my crisis point was that my master was killed by the Sith master. They killed each other. And I chased after the Sith's acolyte, some guy named Skarn, and he ran away and he got away and I came back and my master was dead and I had to go off and do my own thing. And we'd set up this conflict where she found Skarn. That was the name of the acolyte. And I said it on like Mass Effect 2. It's like heavy in my mind. Thank you, Legendary Edition, and Once More Into the Void. But so I just set it on Omega because my wife's never seen me play that game. And she thought it was a cool concept for a club. And I'm like, yeah, I'm really smart. I'm creative. I'm in a cool club.
That's just right.
In space Star Wars.
That's right. On my own.
And she goes head up against Skarn and this Rodian gang that, like, I'm so shameless. I just called them the Blood Pack. Because, like, I was just vibing on Mass Effect 2. So I literally stole one of the gangs from Mass Effect 2. Except it's Rodians instead of, I can't remember what the blood pack species was. And she just, like, goes head up on them. She's got a crew with her. But she goes into the VIP room at the club all by her lonesome. And fight breaks out because she's just decided she's going to take this guy down.
And right here, right now.
I reached a point where I got Monster of the Week. Remember all those health boxes I talked about before?
Yeah, yeah.
That ain't present in Star Wars world. You got five. And two of them are just strained. So when you're getting hit with a lightsaber and you take three harm, that takes you to critical. So she swapped harm with this dude and she was almost dead. And I was like, oh, she's surely going to run away. And this will be awesome because he's going to run away. Like I had him because he ran away before. Like that's his backstory. Right. He's going to GTFO. Right, yeah. And she's like, nope, taking him down. And I'm like, okay, this is... Either she's going to die because one more touch and she's done, right, or he's going to die. And is that interesting? Because we're pretty early on in this campaign. Like, I don't know if Scarn, the guy who ran away, but is a heavy part of her backstory, is important enough for me to ducks in the machine him out of there. So there was this point where I like pretended to look some stuff up as I just... thought about this, like
yes
this is big, and I realized I gotta let the dice roll where they may.
Yep.
And
yep,
she took him down. She's like poof, dead. And then I said, and then he's laying there, he's dying, what do? I stab him one more time.
Oh
no chance for redemption for Scar. Oh. The Sith. Yeah, just stab him in the face with her lightsaber. Wife, you are vicious. I love you. That's great. And she was critical, like super harmed. Her crew finished up with a few more of the Blood Pack Rodians, run gun out of the... And I realized, like, she's not the focus of most everything that's going on right now. The whole, like, we're running away, we're getting on a ship, we're getting attacked by the laws, the legally authorized law authority in this particular planet. And it was funny. It was one of those person in the back of the ship while the ship's getting rocked every once in a while and having NPCs narrate bad stuff that's happening. I'm like, right, this is a weird lens for a dogfight that's going on, but it was earned and she was super into it. Like, oh gosh, I hope they make it. And I'm like, they have to because they're NPCs. And what am I going to do? So I thought about like, should I roll a D6 and just see if they get shot down? But they made their way out and that was the end of the session. But it was pell mell. Like,
yeah.
She was vicious. I was, man.
So where do you think you go from here, right? Scarn's dead. She killed him, right? And made sure he was dead. Mm-hmm, what do you go from here as a GM? What are you thinking from here?
I laid a seed as she... There was this like moment where upon reflection, and I can't remember what the mechanics were off the top of my head, but it was the thing where you gain a new insight. And
right.
I kind of laid the groundwork for it of saying, hey, you realize this Scarn, he's hanging out with a blood pack. You know what all he was involved with. You get the vibe that he's not the mastermind behind all this. And you just killed a powerful lieutenant, but just like he was an acolyte to a Sith, you don't think he took the step up to where that Sith was. So
right.
What a breadcrumb, the idea that he was working for somebody else. And now you, because you killed him, it's not like you can ask him questions about what was actually going on. So
right.
There was a little bit of a cost to the super vicious approach. But yeah, so that's where I'm going to go. And I was, I think I have some ideas of other interesting right. and probably more challenging conflicts to throw her into.
Nice.
Sunday morning, Star Wars Hutt Cartel.
I love Hutt Cartel.
Hutt Cartel's so good. And it's better now, not because of anything I did, but Mark Diaz Truman, which... Hutt Cartel, based off Cartel, MDT's Mexican narco fiction game of amazingness. He put out the deck of locations, which is this like physical deck. And there's also a PDF of it that are, You got, yeah, yeah. It's got it. You got
I have it. Yeah.
Yeah. It's so good. It's so good. And, you know, decalocations. Here's the thing. Oh, it's a vet and you can go and get healed, but there are bad things. Oh, here's a hotel. You can hide people out there, but you have to make this roll. And they're all cool. It's just like nice. Custom move and location. Super good. And Will H, who's a member of the Gauntlet, he's running Hut Cartel. And he like said, I love this decalocations. I'm going to port all this over to our setting, you know, our setting. I mean, it's his, right. But he's taking it and it's so good, man. Like you need some weapons. You have to go see the Tenwa clan, this group of Jawas.
I love it.
You want to clear some stress there. You got to throw a party at the Eight Lives Club, which incidentally used to be known as the Nine Lives Club until somebody died.
Until somebody died.
And it's so good. But the best part of Hut Cartel for me is of course playing, but like playing a game that I've run a number of times and was really happy right. with, but seeing how someone else does it, especially mm-hmm. somebody who's like super into it. I mean, Will just, he has this ability to take all the gritty crime drama, like The Wire, Sopranos, even a bit of The Shield, and just like, how do I make that into liquid game fuel?
Right.
And
right.
he would just twist the knife in ways that I would have never thought of that. And that was so mean. And it totally happened to my character, but damn, that was mean and awesome and nice. Amazing. And he would push and push and push, and every NPC had an agenda, and nobody got anything for free. It was always a price. Even if a person had plenty of it, be like, but you need it, so obviously you're going to have to owe me. And that right. was all kinds of stuff of the say yes or roll the dice. You know, I often will say yes just to keep things pushed, keep it going, keep right. the pace, keep the pace. And by saying yes, I was robbing some of the grittiness from Hut Cartel and seeing how Will approached it.
Gotcha.
Like, right. Yeah, that's dope. Yeah. And the dice hated my poor Ratataki. Her name was Atima, and she was the Gero, which is like the CIA officer. So she was a rebel yes. spy. That was the
story. Right, a rebel spy. Yeah.
Really, really cool. Last two games, every time something mattered, I was biffing it. I rolled snake eyes like four or five times. I kept rolling sixes and like
right.
no one was there to help me. So it was just, she lost her eye. Her crime oh. lover broke up with her. She lost her best friend who said like, I know you saved a spot for me to get off this planet, but I'd rather stay here in hell than trust you ever again. I'm like, oh man.
Whoa.
It was so harsh. And that was a player character.
Wow. Player
saying that in character.
Right, right.
It was so good, man. I've never seen dice conspire against me for such a like tragic story.
Oh, that is very tragic.
It was so bad. Poor Tama.
Man.
And then the last game on my rotation for the last week is Spire, The City Must Fall.
Yeah. I like Spire a lot.
Dude, you ran it for me pre-pandemic. And the way you ran it was super interesting. And so I was like, how's this game going to go?
Right.
Because Spire's a weird game. You got to be like a dark elf who's
right.
kind of a paramilitary cult member, secret organization stuff to overthrow the high elves, all that stuff.
Right.
And Tyler, who's a member of the Intercontinental Group of Awesome, a Sunday afternoon group, he stepped in to run it. He'd never run Spire before. And his approach is like, it started off really, really different. It felt like Drow Shadowrun.
Okay. Yeah.
Like it was like we had a cell boss who kind of said, go do this thing. And I'm like, oh, we're just going to go on missions? Interesting. I did not expect that. But that was a fake out, Matt.
You got it, because in my brain, I'm like, I guess, yeah, I could have broke it down and just ran missions, kind of.
Yeah, but it felt like that wasn't, I was like, this isn't what I thought Spire was about, but it's a lot easier because when Magi ran it, everything was terrible. All the world was terrible.
It was all terrible.
And so I was like, okay, yeah, this will be a, like a lighter version of the Spire. But that was a fake out. Man, nice. Tyler. So I'm playing Aramitz, this Lajan. They're the priests. And he runs this teeny tiny chapel way down the Spire. So I'm like, I want to play somebody who's really inspirational. Like, I want to play somebody who's good, who's in this with the right reasons and is realistic, but also has a strong sense of his own morality, who is a priest, but who doesn't preach to others, tries to set the example. Like, this is my passion. I really want to make Aramitz a character that people would pull for, who's in a terrible situation. And I feel like I'm on the right path, but man, does that get me in a lot of trouble. we're dealing with a demonic drug that's called Drek. The bunch of gnolls are making and distributing it all over Spire. And somehow there's this like serial killer high elf who thinks they're an artiste and they're like murdering mugs and like filling them up with Drek. And it's not good, man. Like, there's this turn, dear, like he's gone. Last two sessions have been hanger terribleness is Tyler's specialty now. And there's one where like, oh, well, we're doing all this research on the Drek and we found a lot about Drek and this demonic drug. And we know where we got hold of this guy, Black in the Eye, who's one of the dealers, and we pulled him down and we got all this stuff. Okay, let's go talk to our cell leader. Cell leader's like, okay, yeah, see what you're saying. I'm going to send you down one level of the Spire to talk to one of my cohorts. This is dicey stuff, but you guys are doing a good job. Once you go down with him, because he knows a bit more about the gnolls and stuff, go down to him and then you guys work it out. So we go down to find him and he is super murdered, like open Whitechapel murder style, pinned out, heart cauterized and torn out, Drek all up in his veins, in his blood, all behind him, a bunch of stuff crashed to us. And I'm like, oh God, this is all going to go bad. Tyler's terrified.
No. Right now.
It's just, he's so spooky. Tyler is so good at being scary. And I really am now convinced that Madelajan is going to die in the gutter somewhere. And I'm really going to care because I wanted him to be a good guy. Should have played like somebody that was disposable, Mad Jay.
Disposable.
Now I care. Oh, Tyler's so sneaky.
Yeah, that is sneaky. That's some Drek. Oh, man, that's a mess. I love it.
So it's real good. And I love that he let us like, oh, this is good. Yeah, this is fun. It was a tutorial. We were on easy mode until we dropped in. And now it's like, oh, Lord, we can't even, did she set us up? Were we supposed to die? Because the cop showed up right away. Oh my gosh, did our own self, well, who do we talk to? I don't know. Man, all this.
I don't know. I love it. Now that's Spire, yes. Because, yeah, he walks you through. And you're down to, man, we got to, are we even supposed to be doing this job? Is this job even real? Right? Right? Are we just Apaches for something else? What's really going on? Right? Mm-hmm. Yeah, that's Spire. I love it.
Yeah, for real.
I would run that again, or I would play that again. That was fantastic.
Nice. You should. You were very, very good at running Spire.
I appreciate you doing this, man. This is fantastic.
Oh, this is so fun. I love this whole thing that you're doing with the podcast. Keep it up. I love to hear what you game, other people gaming. It's fun. It's really, really fun.
Thanks. Fantastic. I appreciate it.
That's my show. Thanks for listening. The extended version of this show can be found on my Patreon at patreon.com/madj0. Send your comments, questions about this episode to me. I'm on Patreon at madj0, all letters, or send it to Twitter at GoDiceology. And you know, subscribe, rate, and like. Let's make this our regular thing.